I've called this morning, In Search of the 100th Sheep. And I hope that somehow I can minister to it in a way that touches you and gives you a greater sense of passion for the lost, for the unchurched, for those that are outside of the realm, seemingly outside of the realm of God's reaching power, and yet it's not. But it is, I just trust that the Lord will use this. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these words will be life-giving. And I pray that you will ignite something within us, that we have a passion for people that don't know you. And we'll thank you and praise you. Take us further along today, Lord, on this journey, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 15. What manner of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And just so I tell you that there will be more joy over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no need of repentance. Lost things matter to God. That's one of his specialties. He loves people. And if somebody ever wondered, well, I feel so far away from him, that would even be better in one way, because he cares. We have a Savior who cares about people. And so lost things matter to him. Jesus loved sinners. Never forget that. Because the devil often comes along and gets us doing other things. But Jesus loved sinners. He came to earth not because this was a holy place, but because it was populated exclusively by sinners. The whole earth lies under the influence of the evil one. And so, Jesus, because of this, because the whole earth was populated with sinners, he, the Holy One, modeled a sinner-friendly lifestyle. A lifestyle that lost people felt comfortable around Jesus. It conveyed full acceptance without bestowing approval of their deeds. He really could hate the sin and love the sinner. He is the one of the few that can actually say that, because it's true. Without bestowing approval of their deeds. And when you tell, if you don't know the Lord, and you come to him and you say, "I'm such a sinner," Jesus rejoices over that, because he said he came to set captives free. And so Jesus stayed in their homes. He ate at their tables. He attended their parties. And not once did he compromise his holiness. He didn't compromise his holiness in any way. And I made this little note here. No one feels more attracted to a Savior than someone who fully knows how truly lost he or she is. That's the marvelous of it's how marvelous it is to know a Savior like that. That lost things really do matter to our Lord Jesus. Lost sheep, for starters. Lost coins. Lost sons. And this is who he came to redeem and to save. I think that when we think of Jesus, we think of him kind of above people, like a beyond people, that he wouldn't hang around with people like that. But that was his specialty. That's who he felt most comfortable of all of his ministry. I made a little note. It's his note. When Christians begin to pray for the felt needs of pre-believers, God surprises them with an almost immediate answer to prayer. There's something about, if we pray here this morning, which perhaps we will, and we pray here this morning that the Lord would touch those who are brokenhearted, that touches the Lord. And immediately, because it's a felt need of a lost person, it's equivalent to dialing 911. It just comes that quickly. And so this is the point I'd like to make, that the more people that don't know the Lord that we hang around with, when we pray for their marriage, when we pray for their son who's maybe gone off a little bit, when we do that, that touches them. And they and the Spirit of God immediately comes, and Jesus comes in full force and goes after the lost one. And our job is that we must look for opportunities to pray for those that have felt needs. If you're, you know, if you're in the hospital and you meet somebody, I find it's very rarely, if maybe never, in fact, do you go to a bedside and say to the person, how long have you been in here? And they say, well, I've been here for 2 weeks. I'm not feeling very well. I said, you know, would you like me to pray for you? Well, not so much for me. I'm really worried about my wife. And oh, well, that'd be fine. Why don't we pray right now? And just to say, Lord, please touch this man's life and his wife and his children and help them as they go through this difficult time. Are they open? More open than ever been before. These are great moments to pray for the felt need. Not the real needs, we know what they are, but the felt needs. The one that is right here where it's about the job they lost or about this problem they had in their home. And it's just that wonderful 911 number, spiritually speaking, regarding lost ones. God's heart is for the lost. That's just all you could say about that. His passion, his heart is for people that are outside of the realm of his, of him, haven't been able to somehow press in, and Jesus goes after them. And that's the whole point of the lost, for example, the lost sheep. The focus, if you notice, is on the rejoicing. He said, I tell you, you rejoice with me. And Jesus later says, listen, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than all the other 99 who don't need to because they've already experienced my grace. And so we've got this wonderful dilemma of him going after the lost one, the lost coins. She called her neighbors all together and said, you know, I had this coin, valuable coin, and I lost it, but I found it. And I want you to rejoice with me. And that was the reason. And then, of course, the lost son. We know about that story. And what was the whole point? About the celebration of putting the ring on, the robes on, and to say, tell everybody that my son was lost, but now he's found, and he's home, and I'm rejoicing. And each one of those things, what is it? Rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. That, and here's what I suspect is why this is being preached, is because many times, I don't know if we really have a passion for lost people. And I'm putting my finger here as well with yours. It's a wonderful thing to have a genuine care for someone. And I think that many times when somebody comes in, we want to change them. And instead of perhaps love on them. And I know that people are often afraid of Christians because they're afraid that you're going to say something or chase them down or disapprove of their lifestyle. And I know this, that if we say, Lord, bring us people that don't know you, I think we would be surprised. Hang on, because when he brings them, they may not be exactly what you had in mind, but it's what God had in mind. And sometimes it can be way beyond your comfort zone. So I was hoping there'd be somebody who just needed a slight tweaking, you know, just a few little encouragements along the way. I wasn't planning on this being a major problem. It often is. People bring their mess with them. But that's because we touched it at a certain point and they felt comfortable to come and hang out with us. It's a great privilege to have people hang out with you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So God's heartbeat is for the lost. He loves them to the point of having given the very best for them. He gave the very best because he gave his son, who loved us and gave us, right? Loving and giving, that's just how he is and how he was then too. His eyes are constantly searching for the lost, and may mine be as well. praying for lost people is not an option. It's not for a few people. It's for all of us. It's a command. It's the explicit will of God that the church pray for all men and for all women to be saved. It is our major calling on our lives. It's a Lord, do not let them perish. We stand in the gap. We make intercession for lost people in lost neighborhoods, families that do not know the Lord. They may have some religious background, but they don't know the Lord as in the way that to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so what is our job? I think our job is to catch God's heartbeat, to get on the same level that he's at. Because love ultimately wins out if we have the opportunity to continue loving that person. Now, there are two verses that I think, well, one is in Timothy, and one is in 2 Peter chapter 3. I think it was maybe about 10, 12, maybe a bit longer, years ago, that I came across this. I think I probably preached on it every second week for the longest time, because it really grabbed me. And I want to share and read it with you. And at the end of it, when we're done, I'll make a few more comments. But then when we get done, I wonder if maybe we shouldn't just begin to offer up some prayers for people that don't know the Lord as we know him. And so I'm going to read it because it's so, just say, Lord, touch my heart with this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish. I'll read that again. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Not willing that any would perish. That's his disposition on this. So what's God's disposition towards lost people who are abusive in their lifestyle? Right here, that none would perish, but all would reach repentance. You see, I know this to be true on many levels, that if we want to reach our city for Christ, and I think we do, I think we could say that, oh, how wonderful if there was a move of the Spirit and many, many, many people came into the kingdom through our obedience. So if we want to reach our city for Christ, we must catch God's heartbeat for the lost. We must join him in what he's already doing. And we come alongside of what the Holy Spirit is up to. But we have to get the heartbeat. Because that's the starting point. If we want to reach our city, we have to love the city. We have to care about the city where we live. It just goes part and parcel. So we listen carefully. I know this, if you listen very carefully, you'll actually hear two heartbeats. None to perish, thump. All to be saved, thump. None would perish, thump. All would be saved, thump. None would perish, thump. All would be saved, thump. That's the heartbeat of our Lord. None lost, all saved. None lost, all saved. Now, do I think that everyone is going to be saved in the world? No, I don't. But I do know that if we catch that heartbeat, none would perish, all would be saved. This is his will. All to come to repentance. Families, individuals. To God to flood our hearts. Rise to our mind to fill our thinking. And to completely renew our understanding as we catch God's heartbeat. That's, if this was to happen in increasing ways, that we'd say, Lord, warm my heart so that I really take an interest in people, not just people like me, but whoever you bring into my path. None to perish, all to be saved. None to perish, all to be saved. And let that echo again in your mind over and over again. And next week and week after and the week after, find yourself increasing, lifting up your hands to the Lord and calling out to Him and saying something along this line, and it's in your notes. Lord, grant me a baptism of compassion. Grant me a baptism of compassion. That's the cry of our hearts. That's so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. There's a second one, and it's powerful too. Listen to this from Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Now, you get this as a prayer. He's calling us to prayer. For kings and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing in sight of God our Savior. And here it is again. God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we read in Peter, now Paul picks this up. He says, for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants. And he covers it all for king people in high places to pray for the leadership, to pray for government leaders, to pray for people that are in, you know, different levels at in their life. And he says, and to come to a knowledge of the truth, for there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself, there it is again, who gave himself as a ransom for all. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, who gave himself. I desire that in every place the men should pray. I'm sure it's men and women, to pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Amen and amen. What is that about? A reminder again that God doesn't want anybody to perish. It's not his plan. It's not his will that people perish. He takes no delight in someone who chooses to not to come. I mean, there are people that won't be saved because they don't want to be saved. And they would tell you that. So you can't do anything about that. But the rest of the people that we come in contact with, we should pray. The point was on the praying. Now, I wrote here the where and the how of prayer. The question is, where are we going to pray? And the answer is, everywhere. You're walking down the street, you just, Lord, thank you for this company here. Lord, I pray there must be 1,000 people who work in that building. Save them. Don't let any perish. You see what happens? Then it touches my heart. You're walking a little farther and you see a hospital or nursing home. Lord, oh, that they would come to know you. So wonderful. It in just before they pass into eternity, that they would come to know you, Lord. Lord, let there be that Christian witness. Let that nurse or that caregiver, you know, be there and just being able to talk to them and pray for them before they pass into eternity. And so now, do you see that we pray for everywhere, but it becomes a very active thing. For you who take the bus, oh, what a choice instrument of the Lord that is. Right? You've got time galore. You're killing time till this bus ride is over. Right, Anita? I've seen her several times on the coming over on the bus. She's finished. She's done the day. She's done in. But she has a great opportunity as these people pass. As she's waiting for, you know, there's all these people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, who she may not get a chance to talk to necessarily, but she can flash prayers against that individual sitting in front of her and wondering what their story is. Right, wonder what happened here. This looks, you know, you can almost see the heartaches in some of the people's lives if you take that often enough. So we pray everywhere and in every place. We saturate with the thought. Well, I don't know how many Christians, Jesus proclaiming Christians there are in our city, but I know this, that you won't run out of people. There will be someone else to pray for. And it's very active. This is a very, very active thing. Arrow prayers, right? Just arrow prayers to their mind, arrow prayers to their heart. And when they say, Lord, thank you. And then another person comes, So everywhere and in every place. Now, here's the thing. I'm not quite sure the writer put this in this, but the how. Because he said, lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. Is there a clue here? Was there something about the very thing of lifting up my hands? Is that the secret of praying, I wonder? I leave this open to you for your thinking too. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. In other words, don't bog down with mediocre things here with each other. We've got prayers to offer up. We've got to lift up holy hands. Because the whole context is that men would be saved. I desire that in every place that men would be saved, and they would pray, they would seek me, and we have this opportunity. So when I was preparing the sermon this week, a couple of times as I was walking down the street, I lifted my hands, and I just flashed some prayers. I don't know, I just said, is it lifting up holy hands? Why would I be lifting? To praise the Lord, but also to ask for the harvest. And lift up our hands. Lord, we're calling on you. We're calling on you for Lynn Valley. We're calling on you for North Van. We're calling on you for the city. We beg of you, Lord. Thank you for what you want to do in people's lives. Lifting up holy hands. And I am, because of the context, I am sure that, or seems to indicate to me that is the very who desires that all people to be saved, lifting up holy hands. You see what I'm saying? It shifts over right away that we have an agenda, that we're not hiding it, that we would love people to come to know the Lord. Our neighbors away just left. Val and her are getting quite close. And she's a character. And Val says, well, you know, we'll be praying, you know, to who, you know who. And her, you know, her, like, because I was just going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. No, I believe she will get saved. Because we are forever pointing her. And meanwhile, she's saying things that I haven't heard her said in my house for a long time. Rather. Creative use of the language, I guess. I guess that's it. But the very fact that Val's pointing, he says, you know that we're going to be praying for you while you're gone. She's down in Honduras. And she's going to be praying for you. Yeah, right. Well, it will be right. Because that's God's will, that she not perish. Right? That's God's will is not that she would perish. And I think she fights this thing. And by the way, everything I'm saying here right now, if she was here, I would delightedly say it again. And that's the kind of relationship we're trying to build, that she not, in other words, to make it very, very difficult for her to go to a lost eternity. I think God makes it difficult. I think he blocks the exits on every occasion. He blocks it. And our job is to make it hard for people to go to hell. If they go, we can't stop that, I guess, but let's make it difficult. Let's make it hard. That they got to climb over God in order to get out of his grasp. And what an adventure that could be in the years ahead for all of us. Just making it hard for people not to fall in love with Christ. Because if they knew him, because, you know, the people that we know, the people that you know, if they knew what Jesus was like, they would really love him. Because these are characters, right? These are bizarre people in some ways. And it's good, right? It's just good. But this is who Jesus came for. The whole focus on Luke 15 and in Peter and in Timothy is that lost people matter, that we have to begin praying and blessing the name of the Lord, lifting up our holy hands, but on behalf of those that don't know him. There's something, I don't know what happens when we lift our hands, but I think it shows our helplessness and we're looking to God's ability. And that we would continue on as a church to be, I think we need to focus more often on the, just come together for an opportunity to pray for lost people and see what would happen. Because I know one thing, because I've already touched on it, it would be the when we say, Lord, help us to help them in their lives, make them, that's a blessing to them. We know what would happen is that it immediately becomes 9/11 to them. The Lord comes, and he comes to jump all over us. And I thought, wow, what a great thing. We're just calling on his name. That touches the Lord. And then if you try to meet the felt needs of somebody, the Lord is touched by that. I think that if I had hours to use, I think there's something more precious than praying for somebody that they might come to the Lord. It's the prayers of God's people that bring people into the Savior's love. Right? It's not the sermons. It's the prayer. That a great spirit of conviction would come upon them. And think about how you became a believer. Right? Somebody witnessed, somebody shared, and that touched your heart, and you said, yeah, you got too close. This is the problem. It's good to warn people. Say, listen, if you're going to hang around us, you need to be careful. Why is that? Because we're praying for you. And if you get too close, Jesus is just going to snatch you, and he's just going to grab you because you got too close. And that's why we want them to, even on this April, this night of hope, that there would be several that would come, and there would be maybe the first introduction, but nevertheless an introduction. And they might hear something on that video, or might hear something in the music, or they might hear something around the table that just they took home with them after the event was over. And meanwhile, what are we doing? What is that host doing? Praying, 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 praying that the whole evening would be somehow toward that would really encourage them and strengthen them and help them. And we can't order those things, but we can sure wish them and want them. And again, lifting up our hands in preparation, Lord, pour your spirit upon people that we have connections to. I think one of the things that I'm guilty of, and that is, I think of them for a while, and then I get busy, and then I just haven't thought about them. You know what I'm saying? Is that I just get busy, and I'm not spending the time praying for people that really need a Savior. I mean, really need a Savior. I remember one time in the hospital, I was asked to leave because this person, I can't even say what they said, but they asked me to leave. One of them say, I was, can you go and see my uncle? Not anymore. He told me what I could do with my religion, and I could hardly believe it. He did not want a Savior. And that's what he said. I don't want your Savior. Get the beep, 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 beep. Went on and on it went. He says, sorry. That's not common. It's mostly people, if they're in a crisis and we pray for that felt need, they're very receptive. 99% of the time, they're receptive because they're scared. We're all been, you go into surgery, it's scary stuff, right? So there's those opportunities that we have, or somebody at work. There's all kinds of opportunities. There's people that you and your job that they like you. They actually like you. And not that we're not surprised, but we're just saying it. They actually like you. And they're okay with you, and they're okay with your faith. That's the person to keep praying for, because they're not against it. It's just not part of their lifestyle. It's not part of who they are. They never have gone to church. Why would they start now? Right, that's how it is. Right, you have to be very creative as to what approach would it be, because nobody wants to be trapped. Nobody wants to be, you know, like an Amway kind of thing where you didn't really know what the night was and nobody really said, but that you find out that that's what it is. Or some, I don't mean to pick on that, it could have been anything. But and then they feel, yes, well, if you just sign here and we'll get you signed up here. Nobody wants to be signed up. Nobody wants to be a project, right? We just don't. We have to be better at that. It's just that we want them to come to know the Lord is the good part. But keep in mind how you felt back in that day. How you would have resented it if somebody would have tried to do a number on you to get you to go to church or kind of trick you. I think we have to be very upfront and say, hey, we're having this thing. This is what it is. And could you come? And it's not going to be long. It's only going to be this long. And then just pray and trust God that something good would happen in their life. And maybe they won't come to know the Lord there, but it might be down here on Easter Sunday or over here. I guess that's after Easter Sunday or after further down and down a ways that they've forgotten about. You haven't asked them for a while, and then you can ask them about something else. So there's great opportunities to trust the Lord. What is your take? We got a few minutes here. Oh, we've got lots of minutes. I'll let you out early. But what's been your experience regarding caring about lost sheep? What's your, yeah.
It takes a long time. Sometimes it takes a few years just building a relationship and sharing thoughts and stand by when they're insulted.
Yeah.
And pray with them, ask them if you'd like to be prayed for, and things like that just snowball. Mm-hmm. But you have to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to cultivate.
And I am sure that even your loss of your husband becomes later when somebody says, oh, you don't understand. Well, you can understand grief. You can understand pain. That becomes a plus, not a liability. Amazing how he uses things. Yeah. Thank you. Somebody else? Yeah. Yes. No, that's right. And you just keep on loving them and ministering to them. Yes.
And one day you'll get a call.
Yeah. Or somebody else. You know, we do the sowing, and someone else does the reaping. And it doesn't seem fair in some ways, but both functions are necessary: sowing and harvesting. Yeah. Gary Rempel. You got Rempel? Last name, you got Rempel? Yeah. Gary Rempel was often walking his scooter over at Delaney's. And I got a phone call from Louisiana or someplace. Would I go and see if he's okay? I didn't know who he was or anything. And I don't even know who this person was, actually. But would I go and just make sure he's okay? Because he said he needs some friendship. John Shaw was over there, too, around the same time. And we said we befriended Gary. Gary, you see him, Gary, with the card up here? That's him. And John said to him, never lacking any boldness on John's part, he said, "You should come to church." And he said, "Okay." just like that, because I was there. Okay. So he came. He's not stopped. I don't think he's even missed a Sunday. If he has, he was ill. And he can't wait till he gets in this tank. He can't wait. Anyway, on a Wednesday night, on the summer in the city, he's going up the stairs, waiting for the elevator to go up the stairs. And he says, "Thanks for the good night." I said, "Oh, was it a good night?" And he said, "It was a great night." I said, "Why was it a great night?" We're all moving along into the elevator. He said, "Because I gave my heart to Jesus tonight." Yeah. He gave his heart to Jesus. He's telling me. Did you give your heart to him? I didn't ask it. He asked it, told me. And it's a combination of friendships, just letting that person know that you care about them and looking forward to seeing them. And now you'll see him here very shortly. He'll be in here. And it's just one of those great things that I said to John. I said, "John, drinking coffee really paid off." Really great. And they do. They often, John's away right now, but they've spent a lot of time just talking. He's got questions, and he's open to all. He loves the church. But imagine all that time he never got into it because nobody actually. "Would you like to come to church?" "Yes." "Okay." Then he's coming. And he rode in the parade. Yeah, he rode in the parade. That was great. That was anyway. Yeah, Mark.
Just one thing that thought that came to me through this verse, and that's that all of us here that have known the Lord have been the 100 sheep. We have been. And now we've been assimilated into the one that reached us at first, which is the Lord Jesus. And so he's asking us now to join his search for what we were, the 100 sheep.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like that. Like, it just didn't know. And the Lord said, "Maybe you shouldn't see her for a while." And I said, "No, I'm not supposed to." And she said, "I'll never become one of you born again," you know, all this kind of stuff. Not like that, but you know what?
Yep, yep.
And anyway, in the end, just about 6-7 months ago, I started to see changes in her. And the Lord humbled her, by the way. Brought her, she thought she could do everything with it all, after all herself. Now she can hardly see. Now she can hardly walk.
Wow. It'd be funny if she says, "He's the most irritating guy I've ever." Why? But who knew, right? That's. Wow.
Amen.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. Anybody else? Just thoughts? Thoughts on sharing? Yeah, go on. Oh, in season. Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah. And your job at that moment was to pray that she would live. Yeah. Our brother Benny Hechanova, he doesn't talk about it, but he was used by the Lord to preserve a man's life in an accident on Bowen. And they give the guy up for dead. He's turned blue. And Benny's got his head in his hand. He says, Lord, let him live and not die. And Benny prayed that over him. He came to life. He's around. Benny sees him. He's got children that have a dad. And they're just because Benny was there at the right moment, just what we were saying, right at the right. There is what we pray, isn't it? That God would give us places strategically, not to claim a soul, but to call somebody to the Savior. I mean, it's not evangelism, it's relationship that just happens to overflow. And talk about a felt need. There now, there's a felt need if there ever was, right? That you're laying on the floor in a store, and boy, that's powerful. When you think of that, had you not been praying, even perhaps there would have been a different outcome. Yeah. Of course, I've always said this about Caroline. She could make going to get the newspaper an epic story. It's got a wild life of all crazy people and interesting people all together combined. It's good. And that's what we love about you. That's good. I saw somebody else. Yes, Vic.
Growing up in a missionary environment, evangelism home, you know, I learned all the tricks of what you go to do to try to win people to the Lord. And, you know, but the tragedy of it is that I never learned how to love people.
Yeah.
People were projects to, like, how many souls we could get, you know, to get into church, you know. And it was a few years ago, after stepping away from leading worship, the Lord took me into playing in places that were not the unchurched, playing in bars, playing in cafes, playing wherever. And one night I'm sitting at this jam, and I'm looking at other people having a good time, eating, having a drink, dancing, listening to music, and I just felt like this tap on my shoulder and said, Vic, see all these people? He says, I love those people. I want you to love them too. Become friends with them. Play your music for them and love them.
Yeah.
And I go, thank you. And it's like that has opened more doors, and I do believe in that at some point that's gonna even stretch out the attic. It's gonna go even further. Just the friendship and praying for them. I'm praying for several of them.
Yes, yeah, good. Well, there you're strategically planted. Yeah. One more. Yeah.
I was humiliated.
Oh, that was you? So were you conscious of shifting over from somebody said, don't preach that stuff at me, were you conscious that it was changing?
No.
But you can't always tell where that person...
No, no. But I would say, well, if I was going to go to church, I would go to her. Because I was thinking, well, you know, she's so she, there were times when she would talk about the things of God. I just
don't get it. Yeah. And nor can we. We can't get it. Remember even in the book of Acts where the Ethiopian eunuch was going along and they said, do you understand what's being said, what Isaiah was saying? And he says, no, how can I? I need someone to interpret this for me. And we often interpret, not just scripture, but the whole Christian experience, we interpret it for them. Yeah. Because they've got so many misconceptions of what it's about, right? So. I'm sure we still would have liked the old Jew. That's great. Let's stand. Let's lift up holy hands. Yeah, good. I've got just a prayer list here. It says, write down the names of people you hope to encounter the life-exchanging hope of Jesus, hope of Christ. There's three blanks. This, you have a card. Why don't we lift our hands before the Lord, and let's pray that somehow somebody might be impacted by this invitation. Hallelujah. And then put a name in there if you can. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up holy hands here today, and we pray, Lord, that you would bring people to yourself. That night, Lord, even of that presentation, the encountering hope, I pray that hope will fill this place and that someone will come to know you and will pass from death unto life. We beseech you, Lord, Lord of the harvest. Oh, I pray, God, that there would be fruit from this. We thank you. Lord, lay it on our hearts who this should be for. Who do we give this to? Who do we share Christ with to say, come and join us that night? Lord, we don't even know, but we look to you, thanking you that it is not your will that any would perish. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Somebody else, just feel it free to lead out. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yes, Lord, without love, this thing is doomed. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. Please come to the patio. We'll have it to ourselves there for a few minutes before the rest comes. So join us out there if you can.